All right, church. I'm telling you, I was just listening to that song, and I've been listening to that song for a week or so now. And I've been listening to the words of that song, and I told myself, I said, Lord, how can we not say amen? Amen. I thought for sure this morning that as we sang the song, that the crowd would be shouting amen. Because I'm here this morning to share with you today that we are in a new day in our life. Amen? I hope you had a great New Year's Eve. But let me tell you what God has done in 2015 for you deserves more than an amen this morning. Because what He's going to do for us in 2016 is far beyond and beyond greater than we could ever imagine or even think of, folks. Greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. Amen, folks. We got a lot to be excited about this morning. If we cannot sing the song and say amen, may the Lord do something so dramatically in our heart this morning that we cannot sit any longer. Let this be the year of change, folks. Let this be the year that God Almighty can awaken our soul to do something great and mighty for Him. Listen, I too, in my life, have come to points where I found myself in a slumber. Where I found myself complacent where I am, spiritually, in life. You know why? Because everything is going okay. There's no troubles on the right. There's no troubles on the left, Rick. Everything is just okay. So I find myself complacent. Far be it from me to expect and want and need to be awakened. But folks, things happen in life that wake us up, that put us on our knees, and put us at the point of prayer and depending on God Almighty alone. This morning, folks, this morning. Now, Larry's a retired police officer, okay? And I just got to check his credentials here this morning, folks. I don't know. Larry's gone. Larry's gone. Larry, has anybody seen Larry? But I was going to ask Larry this morning, has he checked your credentials when you came in this morning, Bill? He didn't check your card. Did he check your card this morning? Did he check your card? Paul, I saw you out there. You should have been checking cards. My question this morning is, are you qualified to become a part of the kingdom of God? Are you qualified? What does that look like for you and I this morning? Now, we've been able to read, thank you, Pastor, the first two chapters of Luke. And in the first two chapters of Luke, it came to me through the Lord that I felt compelled to ask the question, are we qualified to be a part of the kingdom of God? And what does that look like? What does that look like for you and I this morning? Well, if you got your Bibles with you, that's this thing right here. Got a lot of books in. Let's go ahead and break that out this morning. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. In the first two chapters of Luke, obviously, it's the Christmas story, in case you were wondering. But we're not going to talk about the Christmas story this morning. What we're going to talk about here this morning is we're going to talk about the qualifications to be a part of the kingdom of God. And what does that look like for you? What does that look like for me? Where's my checklist that I can meet those qualifications in order to be a part of the kingdom of God? For greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world, folks. I want to talk about Zechariah. And if you got your Bibles, let's go to Luke 1 and verse 6 here this morning. There are some characters in these first two chapters that we really want to highlight their qualifications. What makes them so important that they would be so thought of, that they would be in this book that millions and billions of people read and have read? So Luke chapter 1, verse 6. Let's just check out Zechariah here and see what he's all about. Talks about both of them were upright in the sight of God, talking about him and Elizabeth, observing all the Lord's commands and regulations blamelessly. Here, let me read that again. I want to make sure that I understand this correctly. How about it? Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Wow. What a resume, right? If they were to go to apply for a job, I mean, and to be a pastor of a church pastor, I think that they would be in. They might even qualify for a general superintendent position. But listen, folks, wow, what an amazing thought and wording that could be describing an individual for he and his wife, Elizabeth. I can't meet it. Wow. Blamelessly. That's a strong word, folks. Blamelessly. Wow. All right. So here's Zachariah and Elizabeth. All right. So that's qualification number one here this morning. How about it? All right. Hey, let's continue. There's plenty of people in here. All right. So we can find somebody that we can relate with. Surely so. All right. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, verses 26, 28. So Zachariah and Elizabeth, blameless. Let's go find out how is Mary selected, right? Let's find out and see what's going on with Mary here. So let's go to verses 26 through 28 here. I'm going to have to get my glasses out here, folks. I'm going to blame it on the lighting. All right. So verse 1, 26 through 28 here. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Have you had that experience? Qualification number two. Has an angel come to you and said you've been found highly favored? Me either. It's okay. We're all in the same room together. Don't leave yet. Now Joseph. Now Joseph is also described as someone who is faithful. Not in Luke, but over in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, we'll find that Joseph is described as someone who is faithful as well. Wow. So angel speaks to Mary. Joseph is also described in the Bible as faithful. Wow. I'm left wanting so far this morning, folks. All right, let's continue on here, right? I don't think anyone's raised their hand and jumped up and down for joy that they've identified with anybody yet. So I'll help you along here, okay? So how about Simeon? How about this guy, all right? So now listen, don't take offense to this, please. All right, so let's go to Luke 1 through 20, verses 25 right here and see what we can find out with him this morning. I tell you what, I think I have the wrong verse here. Sorry about that. 2:25. Thank you, Pastor. I put the 1 instead of the 2 in there. So 2:25, Luke 2, verses 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. All right, who was righteous and devout. You know what he did all day? He hung out and worshiped and prayed all the time. Nobody yet? Okay, me either. We're getting there. Simeon, wow, amazing qualification to be a part of this. I tell you what, let's go check Anna out. Let's see what she's up to. So let's go over to Anna. Just go over, in my Bible, it's one page over. So if you just go to verse 36 here, let's see what Anna's doing. So there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, I guess I get that right, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. What did she do all the time? Worshiped, fast, and prayed. All the time. Well, as we travel along still, how about let's go find out what the shepherds are doing? Let's go find out what the shepherds are doing in Luke 1:8 here this morning. Let's travel back. I hear the pages rustling here. Let's go back Once again, I think I wrote down the wrong chapter. Let's go to chapter 2 here. Verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. They were just tending their flocks. They were just working. Everyday life. That I can relate to. God came to them at a moment in time when they were just doing normal, everyday stuff. Now, let's don't get lost here. Everybody else that we spoke of before, Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, all right, Simeon and Anna, they too were doing normal, everyday stuff in life. So are we qualified this morning to be a part of the kingdom of God based upon these measurements of these individuals? Can I just give you a short answer this morning? Let's don't think too hard. Let's don't complicate it too much. The answer is yes. A resounding yes, you qualify. If you are breathing this morning, you qualify. If you have life flowing through you, you qualify. If you have a heartbeat this morning, folks, you qualify. Jokingly asking if they checked your qualification card this morning, Bill? No. You know why? Because when we get to heaven, folks, the only thing that God is going to be interested in is, did we accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior? That is the stand-all right there, folks. That is our qualification to get into heaven. Now listen, you and I this morning understand too, we sang this song, Say Amen. And there's a lot in that song that if we just listen to the words, we read the words, we understand when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, everything is not going to just go smooth as planned. It is not going to happen. I can promise you that today, but I can promise you more importantly today that there's coming a day when Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is coming back. All right, we talked about Him in the last week or two, about when He came in the manger, when He's coming back one day, riding on a horse, folks, and He's going to come back and claim all of those who call Him Lord. And there is coming a day. There is coming a day. Let us not be in want. Let us have our oil jars filled, waiting, ready, anticipating the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the other promise, folks, is that He is coming back soon. And it's up to us as a church of Jesus Christ to be awakened to do what? To do His will. What is His will? To do what? To do His will is to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether we're going to the Middle East, traveling home to South Africa, whether we're going to work next week, or whether we're going to the grocery store, wherever God allows you to be used, all you have to do is be available. That's it. There is nothing more that we need but to be available. That too of a qualification that we can meet if we choose to do so. That we have in our grasp to do, and that is either to say yes or no to availability. Am I available to be used where I'm at today to build the kingdom of God here and now? For if we wait until the perfect time, listen, Mary and Joseph could not wait for the perfect hotel, Four Seasons, to open up a room for them to come in and have a child. There are things in life that do not allow you to wait in order to do something. It has to happen now and where you're at today. The accommodations for Mary to have a child were not ideal, you would agree. Ladies need to say a loud amen. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes in life, the situations are not ideal. Sometimes in life, when there comes an intersection between you and Jesus Christ, it doesn't always seem like it's ideal, but it's always perfect and on time. That is the qualification. Make yourselves available this year. Allow God to really expand and do something miraculous in your life that would just blow your mind. And hey, listen this morning, church. We got to be willing to step out of where we're at today so that we can know that tomorrow we're going to be where He wants us to be. And that is doing what? Doing His will. What is His will? To share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that need to hear it. I don't care if you do anything else in life. I don't care if you teach a Christian education class. I don't care if you help out in the children's department. I don't care if you help up here worshiping. What I care about this morning is that God is calling us to wake up, and God is calling us to do what? To share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything else will take care of itself. When you have that relationship with Jesus Christ and you are beginning to do the things that God wants you to do, everything else will take care of itself. He will put a passion on you to come up here and help out in worship. He will put a passion in you to go downstairs and help Pastor Sally out in the youth in the children's area. He will build a passion in you to go help Pastor Katie in the youth department. He will put a passion in you to do whatever you want to do. I don't care if you're going to go to Costa Rica. I don't care if you go to the Hesed house. Whatever you do it because God has called you to do it, and you want to glorify Him. You want to magnify Him wherever you walk, folks. I understand it's tough. I too have a full-time job outside of church, folks. I get it too. There are times when you walk into work and you got a lot of people coming at you wanting you to do different things and wanting you to, you know, act this way or wanting you to do this, perform this action that is questionable and wanting you to do. Listen, we've got to stand our ground. We've got to be remembering in our mind and our heart and our soul that there is something greater at stake, than those decisions at that very moment. Because listen, We cannot afford to put ourselves in a position that would misrepresent the gospel of Jesus Christ that we claim to have. Are you qualified for the kingdom of God? Yes, yes, and yes. I don't care where you're at today. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you think of yourself today. You are qualified. Look in the mirror. Remind yourself that you are qualified to build the kingdom of God. Because Jesus Christ did not come, did not sacrifice His life for mediocrity. That is not why He came. The disciples did not follow Him, give up family, give up income, give up all that they have for mediocrity, folks. God is perfect in all His ways. Though we are imperfect, He makes us perfect, folks. He comes in and completes us in full when we say yes to Him as our Lord and Savior. I want you this morning to take a personal inventory, as I have. And look at 2016 and ask yourself, check off, disregard that, ask God what He would want to do with you now if you make yourself available to Him. That's all it is, folks. Are we willing to be available to build His kingdom here and now? In closing, I would like to ask Darren and the worship team to come back up if you can. And we're going to sing that song. And understand this morning, folks, I come with you with a heart of sincerity, with a desire for the body of Christ to come alive, to be awakened, to build His kingdom here and now, not to be in a slumber and going through the motions. Listen, I know that life provides that at times. But when God calls us to be awakened, we must really become alert of what He's wanting to do in our heart, soul, and mind. He is not asking us to do something that we are not capable of doing with His help, folks. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary and he began to give her the instructions, his final words said that nothing is impossible with God. Remember those words when you leave this morning. Nothing is impossible with God. Set your strengths, set your weaknesses aside, and remember that nothing is impossible for you when you have God on your side. Amen? Amen. Let's stand, let's sing this song this morning, and let's praise Him as we go this morning. And may the Lord bless you today. And I trust that you will continue to just abide in Him. And as we go through the We Believe readings, dig in, folks. When the body of Christ gets on the same page, literally, we can really do mighty things. And we really become available to do what God wants us to do, and that's to build His kingdom here and now. Amen.